welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Feature. This is Amplified Newscast. Acts in this film, writes this film, and probably has 8 billion films coming out in the next 2 years we don't know about. Marriage Bites, Ashley Hargrove, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I was looking forward to this. It's nice to have something fun for a change, that nobody's head got sliced off or blood pouring out everywhere. Well, that does happen, but not quite to the degree I've been used to lately.
It's a different take on horror, that's for sure. We would have had a little bit more gruesome, but we were trying to get it more like Shaun of the Dead level style.
I think it's there. I think you're definitely going for comedy, and I appreciate that from a writer. I think comedy is very hard to write.
It definitely is, but the good part is each of the vampires, they were so different. A lot of them were based off of people I knew, so that helped a lot with those characters and making them stand out a little bit more fun.
Oh, we can't let that go. That's way too just to watch answer. So yourself is based off, well, so maybe something you don't want to talk about.
An example is Martin, that's played by Joe Kamara. He'd actually done a vampire picture one day a couple years ago when I saw it. And I was like, I'd worked with him already once before. I was like, you know what? I'm like, I think we can expand on that vampire picture you got there. Because he's really good at comedy. So he, you know, I let him go to town on the character, but I think part of it was just the comedy fun. Comedy is definitely tricky, but I studied improv for a while. Also, watching movies like Shaun of the Dead, Cooties, Dale and Tucker vs. Evil, things like that. You had to kind of not take yourself too seriously, but at the same time, you had to figure out how to get all those little vampire puns in.
So hold on. So did you, I mean, you obviously wrote the script. That's pretty evident. I mean, you're on set every day, which you've told me. Do you let the improv go? You're like, oh yeah, that's better than what I wrote. You're like, no, I need this for later. So you got to work on that a bit more.
I gave them each a little bit of improv room. So all the actors had a little bit to go with, and ahead of time before filming, they at least first, you know, told me about some of their ideas when they were reading the script to get an idea going, like, you know, can I do a little bit more than this? And it was either one of those, this doesn't make sense for your character. But there were times on set though, where they would go for an extra moment and you're just like this, like, oh yeah, we're keeping that man.
So I want to go back to your husband. Did you pick this actor just because you guys' chemistry is very good? I really say you do feel like a married couple at times.
I had picked Joe Kamara for that role in particular. He had auditioned for the film before it, for myself and one of our other producers here at B. Castros. And after working with him, I love getting to work with him. So it did quite well to expand of getting to work with him again, but this time an entirely different approach of being a married couple that you kind of see where we make it seem like we hate each other in the degree in the beginning where you're just like, oh yeah, it's just, you're my spouse. But then you have to get along at that point. So yeah, I definitely thought Martin was so totally him. And a lot of that character was written around him and based on parts of him.
Now I do want to discuss the daughter character because I think she's very important.
Ava.
Where did your ideas come for her? Because she makes me laugh a lot. I liked her wit.
A lot of people don't realize I started working with Ava Connolly back when she was about 8 years old. She played a younger version of me years ago on a smaller project. And then the project before it, I can't give away the twist of that other project if you haven't seen Caroline Mine yet, but her and I, you know, we played mother-daughter duo. And this time, since she was a teenager, Ava's hilarious little thing outside of acting, she's just got her own little comedy streak. So part of her puns, you know, I let her get her own little bit of improv. Like the one scene I can say that won't give away the film too much is her hippity hoppity, your blood is my property. That was actually from her. She actually came up with that line on the fly and she asked if she could. I was like, you know what? You're driving Daniel's character nuts. Go for it, kid.
Okay. Daniel's the older gentleman with the crazy t-shirts. I do want to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
The scene where they're running around the couch, I was dying. I'm like, that is totally what a teenager would do.
Well, it was funny. When I was writing that scene, I wanted those two to kind of hate each other, where he knows he has to take care of her, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the adult in this situation. She's just like, I'm the teen man. I'm going to make your life a nightmare, basically. So the scene originally was just written where she was supposed to just get a hold of his blood, or before it originally they were playing a princess game. So when she mentioned about the blood, she's like, "Well, we're drinking the blood shakes." I'm like, "Oh, you could chase each other then." And she's just like, "I got the perfect line for that." I was like, "Oh gosh." And one thing, when Daniel, that plays Arnold, actually tripped and fell in that scene, he really fell in real life. So we kept that part in.
It's so good. It's so funny.
We were dying laughing. He's just chasing her. All of a sudden, he goes down, and I'm like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "I'm fine." I was like, "Can we keep that?" So we kept that part in.
How could you not keep that part in? It is funny.
There was so many parts that we ended up keeping in, and unfortunately, we couldn't keep everything. The original film, before editing, it came out to like 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was insane. And
This
most
is
horror comedies, you
212,
have
isn't it?
this one total with credits was like 149. So it came to like
Oh, was it?
149
Okay.
with the credits. But yeah, originally it was over 2 hours. And with horror comedies, the guidelines we're given, with sales distribution, is you're supposed to keep like an hour 30 to an hour 45.
Yes.
So we're just sitting there like, how do we cut out some of these awesome scenes? Because a lot of the actors, they just do improv on the fly in these sets. And Darren Ewing, he's one of them. He plays Milton. He's extremely good at improv. So there were times I'm trying not to break character with him. And once they yell cut, we're all just dying laughing, like, "Oh, I'm gonna hate you for this."
Now, I want to go discuss the looks of everybody. I do want to discuss the guy you just brought him up with the two t-shirts. I do have the t-shirt names for you. I did if you've forgotten them. Arnold's shirt, Spooks, Swirls, and he has a different shirt in the kitchen. I couldn't read it any. I think he might have a third shirt when he's first introduced. Are
Those
those
the ice
ice
cream
cream
shirt was
one is.
actually, yeah, that was from a company. It was his friend's company, and he asked if he could wear it. I was like, "Yeah, sure." So those were actually like local groups and stuff. So he brought their shirts onto set for them. And another example as well was like Milton shirts. If you notice, he's always in record company shirts. Those were
Yes.
actually from local record companies. So a lot of those really were small companies that had put their shirts in the film, and we fit them to the characters, basically. So that was something different. A lot of people never realized. And even like the sunblock was from another company, which that was pretty funny asking a company for sunblock for vampires.
It all works. Now, your wardrobe looks like something you would have worn just for fun. Like, I don't think you went out and bought a wardrobe for this.
A lot of the costumes came from a friend's store of mine. She runs Kids Mart. Her name's Delana St. John, and she's ran that store for years. And on the film, she donates a lot of the clothing, and then the other shirts and stuff would come from some of the smaller sponsors. But for Linda's character, I wanted her to first have the "I'm stuck in the marriage theme. I have a kid. I'm now the lazy. I just want to be in my relaxing clothing stage," basically. And Martin's clothing, his went from, just a normal husband to all of a sudden he becomes a vampire. He is suddenly an entire different person, basically. So that's why you saw like his clothes suddenly change up massively. But one of the most running common themes we used for our clothes, if you noticed really closely, a lot of the clothing had purple or blues or black or red in them. We were
Yeah, the
trying
one
to
main
hit those
vampire is
clothing.
always wearing black every time.
Yep. And like even Ava, the daughter that plays Morgan, most of the time she's always in black because we wanted her character to just stay moody, constantly moody. So her outfits had to fit her mood.
Okay, now you're reading a book in bed. Now, I'm
Oh,
trying.
yes.
Now, there is
Those
a
are the.
vampire sock. And you have two other books on the nightstand. I tried to get them, but your shot is so quick. I even
Those,
paused
I
it
may
and I
have
couldn't read
them.
them. So I want to
Actually,
know
I
why
have
those
them.
three books. So here we go.
I actually have some of them. I'm trying to pull them out from here. Okay, let's see. Everett Glynn, when he sees it, he's got two books. I think I
Yes,
got
that's
them. I'm
one
trying to
of
get
them.
around that little. There we go. He wrote the other one about the, I think it was called Silent Screams. This one, Vampires Suck. I had
Yeah.
actually done a voiceover recording for that author. So as part of a neat little thing, we snuck the book into the movie. So that way, since it's called Vampires Suck, it matched that scene like, great. Yep, vampires suck. And the other one, believe it or not, this one, it's called Built with Purpose by Bill Roark, if I pronounce it correctly. That book was written by the guy that founded the company that my husband works for. And he wasn't working for him anymore at that point. I think he had retired. And so, as a fun gimmick, we put his book in the movie. So his company now knows they get to see it in there.
Now, do people pick up on these things, or is it just weird people like me that find these items to talk about?
I've had a few that picked up on a couple of them, and there was even some Easter eggs that travel from other projects I've been on. There's if you ever pay attention, there's even a coloring book that's in one scene. That is from
Yes.
the person, Everett Glenn. That was his. There was a brown leather book that shows up at one point. That has been around for three, four projects now, and we just sneak it into each project we do now as a running gag to see if anybody catches it. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but pretty much everything we sneak in has a connection to something. Or, like I was showing you with the vampire suck, we wanted that pun to hit right there. Like, this is what happens when you're with a vampire, they suck. And a lot of the products we mixed in the film, like All Good Products, that is a sunblock company. I had reached out to them probably about a year ago, and I was getting products for the film, and I needed sunblock, and I started out with them going like, "Hey, would you love to show your consumers that you might be able to protect vampires from the sun?" And they actually liked that, so they ended up giving us that. Ring Pops, those was a running gag in the film the entire time. I reached out to Bazooka Candy Company that runs Ring Pops, and they granted us permission to use them the entire time throughout the movie, so you see them everywhere where vampires are constantly wanting a ring pop.
That's something I never want, but that's okay. How many pairs of teeth did you guys buy? I'll let you, sorry.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh, that's a lot. Because I think total we had like 30 something vampires in this film.
Probably.
So I know a couple of people had very specific sets that they already had. Like Martin has his own special. One of the girls had a set, it had like six teeth in it, actually. So that was a unique one she brought for us. But there was tons of little packs, so I would probably say at least 30 sets of teeth.
And where did they come from? All different places, sounds like.
They th different places. There was some that were given to us, and then some that people brought for us, and then a few we had to research for a while and test out on the different actors to see if they'd hold or not. It was definitely different because the main part was a lot of vampires needed the same teeth, but we needed to have a few with their own special teeth. Like Rihanna Calderwood, she's got six teeth. Martin had four, and if you watch real or two. If you watch closely on Robert Lissardo that plays a vampire, he's got one fang.
Yes.
He's got one. Yep, so we made him a one fang.
That's in the classroom scene. See, I did watch the film. I did remember. I had to think. I go, wait a second. Okay. Let's hit locations for a few minutes before I forget, because it's always at the top. Real graveyard?
It was actually done through a digital Thunderdome. So half the graveyard was actually at a studio in Georgia. And I think the first moment was probably was a special effect from our editor that he put that in, but the rest of the time they were in a studio graveyard. We had some real cemeteries we did look at, but I wasn't sure how comfortable the actors would be in a real cemetery. So we opted with the studio one through Digital Thunderdome for theirs.
You guys spent a lot of time in the house, an inordinate amount of time. Whose house?
That actually belonged to a friend of mine. She was gracious enough to give us a house for 6 solid days. Because the first half of the film, it's showing the relationship, getting adjusted until we finally just throw you guys out of the house and give everybody a complete shock from then on out, basically. But yeah, she loaned us a house for 6 days straight. The film before it, I got lucky enough where we had six houses borrowed for that film as well. The
Okay.
cave
Oh, yeah,
was
okay.
a studio set. That was a studio set that Digital Thunderdome had built. The crypt in the morgue was from that same studio. Then we used a different studio for classroom and doctor scenes. And the office scenes as well. And then the arcade, we actually filmed at a real arcade family event center.
Oh.
Yes, they gave us permission where we rented out that day for filming in that back part. You just couldn't put their name in the scenes, but you could listen to special things. So yes, we actually filmed that in a real arcade.
Excellent. Okay, I guess this is up here. I don't want to lose it. Music. You have tons of music.
Yes, Kane Blast. He is very fun to work with on music. So he had a blast just trying to get them to make the chilling parts we need, and the rest of the time we hit that little bit of comical side.
Okay, now I had a question. Why vampires? You have lots of options. You could have werewolves. I mean, I understood you could do your story to Frankenstein, but you might be able to do it with even something different, like a body snatcher idea.
I have a Grim Reaper project coming up, so I'm actually, so I do get to jump creatures, but vampires primarily was a couple of reasons. I had actually just written a vampire book with an entirely different storyline that's very dark, and watching or seeing the photo of Joe Kamar as a vampire, I wanted to expand on that, but I wanted to give it a comedic side. And at that time, it was competing along with the Grim Reaper project that I've got coming, so I couldn't make up my mind which one, because they're both horror comedy, but I thought vampires would be just a little bit more fun because everybody was really digging vampires at that time.
Where did your cross come from? It's quite big.
That cross, Amazon. It was Amazon.
That thing is huge.
I'm pretty sure I remember where every prop came from. The coffin
I was
that
getting
my
there.
husband built for us. We had originally been offered a giant coffin from a haunted house, and it just would not have fit into that house. It was like very wide. So we looked at other coffins, and someone even tried to sell us a real coffin. And I was like, no, that might be a little creepy because they said it was used one time. I was like,
No,
like,
no,
no.
nope, that not.
I was like, no. I said, I gotta have actors in that coffin. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they would not want to be in a real coffin that's been used once. So yes, my husband actually has done carpentry before, so I showed him that we needed a coffin to look cheap and ridiculous, like it was nothing they could afford. So we decided on pink, and he built the coffin for us after we figured out to make sure it could fit in the house and could be carried as well. That was the other
Right,
part.
that's true.
And I was the first one to test it. We tested it in our front yard. And my neighbors are so used to us doing crazy stuff.
Was about to
So
go
when they
right there.
saw me out in the yard testing it, they're like, oh, is that for Halloween? I said, no, not this time. They're like, oh, okay, have fun.
I'm probably that neighbor. I would just look at someone going, oh, they're at it again, and just walk right back in the house.
That's basically what they do. They just go like, oh, they're out there again. Okay.
What was the blood made of and barf?
Oh, the barf. Ugh, I hated that stuff. The barf was made, let's see, Tara Merriman, she is a very sweet, awesome lady in SFX. She did a lot of our blood and oatmeal stuff, basically, I like to call it. But it was oatmeal, Rice Krispies, water, and I think maybe a teeny bit of milk.
Oh.
That stuff was, I mean, at least it was stuff I recognized, but after
Oh.
doing that over and over, you're just like grabbing
Yeah.
breath mints, like, yeah.
Yep.
The blood, that was a mix of different things. They used one that the actors could drink at one point. I think one had like a jello mix in it or something. And then there was some of the typical stage blood that was brought in. There was one they poured in my mouth at one point that I had a hold in my mouth while others were delivering lines. And I'm just like, please let this out. The one they squirted in my face, they accidentally missed at one point, if you pay attention, so it hit me all in the eye and I'm spitting it out of my mouth. They had actually missed, so we kept that in. I'm just like, pfft. So that was my real reaction, just like, yeah, this is not good.
I love it. Hey, that's independent filmmaking. You're out of luck.
I think they enjoyed doing that though, of squirting that blood in my face. I think they were seeing as happy comeback time, basically.
Okay, how many flyers are made of the missing persons?
Ooh, okay. So we had, there would have been, I think, there was one going to be missing person. And then I think there was two or three missing people, and then there was two employees of the month and one banned for life person, if I remember correctly.
Good work.
And those flyers, those were made by Quinn Gardner. So he had fun doing that. And then some of them, I actually asked him a few things about them. So we included a few things that they wanted in those flyers.
Oh, that's fun.
Unspoken Ocean, yeah. A buddy of mine, Lance Weller, he had a flyer done for a friend of his. So as a joke, he included a few things in there in the flyer. So when you see what's on his, the Band for Life guy, that's him cracking jokes on his own friend in that.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. We have a lovely laser tag scene.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
I want to discuss the lighting at laser tag. Now, I hope everybody on this planet has played laser tag. It's a great game. But the lighting is absolutely terrible in laser tag.
It is, but the good part is, I think since they had the extra lights above, it helped. And then we still had a few of our own, but we kept a lot of it dim. So you just had that creepy feel to it, especially when you hit the areas of the reds and the lights going off. Our only problem we had at one point was our laser gear. If it accidentally swapped colors without you knowing, you were suddenly on the other team, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought I was their blue red team. So when one of our gals says a joke about, she's like, whose team are you on? She was cracking a joke because the lady's gear had actually swapped colors on us in the middle of filming. So we're just like, just leave it, just leave it.
So, is burger perfume real?
I've heard of one before, so that's where I got the joke from. Several years ago, Burger King had come up with like a Whopper cologne. So I remembered that when that came out, it was like 15 years ago or something. So we put that joke in there. I was like, yeah, he's got to have that. So yes, it was Burger Cologne is based off a real item.
Okay, vampire kill speed effect. Is that a special effect or something? I know you played with it there.
Wait, which one?
It's nearer to the end. You have a very, I call it the vampire speed effect because it looks like he's going fast. It looked like a special effect. I don't know how else to
Oh,
describe it because I could be just be an edit.
the editor actually sped them up. So he
Okay.
sped those people up very briefly so they ran extra fast. There were times they were running, but yes, yeah, so he did a little special effect to make them just boogie a little bit.
Okay. So the school scene, when you get held up in the air, I mean, I know you're not a tall person, at least I don't think you are from what I've
I'm
seen.
short. I'm a
Okay.
shorty. My husband has to reach everything for me or else I'm climbing.
So are you on a box for that scene or you're literally picked up? I presume box is what
Yep.
I was guessing.
I was on one of those typical apple crate type things. Sometimes you can put on the strings and stuff, but for that one, I stood on a crate, and then to show that my feet were above, I basically took my hands and I held them on two different desks and pulled my feet up for those shots.
I was trying to figure out how that one was done. That one, I'm like, okay, I know she's being held up on something, but how do you, good, thank you. I was trying to figure that shot out.
I done stunts and gymnastics before, so that kind of helped. The same with Joe Camara when him and I were doing some of the crazy scenes in the bedroom. He had done gymnastics for quite a while, so that helped a lot with things like that. The same when
You
he kind of throws me. I was on a little box before he threw me, so it gave the extra height as well.
Now, the daywalker idea, I mean, you play with that a lot, but it looks like go ahead.
I had remember seeing it or hearing about it years ago, and I think it was one of the Blade Runner movies, if I remember correctly.
You mean Blade?
Yes, thank you. Sorry, there's
Sorry,
so many
I'll
movies
correct you.
out
It's
on my
not
part.
Blade Runner.
So I remember them mentioning that, and one of the biggest problems I was going to run into with filming was if we tried to film everything at night, it could have gotten very expensive, and also trying to, keep everybody up for those hours. So that's where I put the Daywalker theory into the script. So it would cut part of those costs down for us.
Excellent.
And
How
it
many
made it
day?
easier so if they went out in the sun, they weren't burning up.
Well, they have to wear their sunscreen. That's very, you make sure that is
Exactly.
totally told. We
Like,
have to have the
gotta
sunscreen.
have that sunscreen or they get a little crispy.
And it's Sunday. He didn't have to go to work, so it was okay because, he had overtime, so
Unless
he
you're
was
going for
good.
overtime,
Yeah. How many days did you shoot for? Like, I'd say over six.
Oh,
Probably
let's see. The
10.
house was, it was 12 days, if I remember correctly, we shot 12 days. So it would have been, yeah, 12 days, because 6 house days to get all those shots just right, because you had to be out by a certain time with the house. Arcade is one, local stew was two. None, yes, 12 days of shooting we did.
Okay, well, I'm going to move on to fun questions. I think we covered everything. I haven't even discussed anything exciting.
Fun questions.
No, we're getting to the hard ones, the really easy ones. Your favorite film, please.
Oh, that could be so difficult. I love movies.
So do
If
I.
you want to go, if you want to go straight horror, I love An American Werewolf in London as my top horror film. I
Oh, I saw
love
it.
the practical effects they did with making that. So I would go with that if it's horror. If you want comedy
No,
horror,
that's it. You only
before
have to do
Sean.
one. You're
Oh,
good. You, next time you come back, we'll discuss something else. I'll make your
okay.
life easier. Your favorite genre to write about?
Ooh. Can it be a combo?
Yeah, of course. You're the writer.
I would say horror comedy.
So what you just
Horror
did, it's your
comedy followed
favorite.
by Christmas. Yep.
Christmas. Okay, I'm gonna give you a
Followed by
second.
Christmas.
Have you written a Christmas
Follow
movie?
I've done a Christmas book and I completed a Christmas script right now and it's going through some edits for it. So it's an entirely different thing. I don't do a whole lot of Christmas, but I always want to do that one magical one to try. But horror comedy is definitely the one, because then you don't have to take yourself 100% seriously, but you can still get that little bit of horror in there. Well, of course, you know, the campy comedy to make it stand out more.
Okay, physical or digital media?
Ooh, physical. I gotta have that digital. I want to have that DVD in my hands, man. I
Okay.
want my DVD.
I love when I have this discussion. So a lot of indie creators come on here, as you know, and they always tell me physical. Do you guys have physical prop things to buy then? If I was your film, it's got to be digital.
I've got some physical, I've got some DVDs coming out, so they will be
Okay.
available to buy.
Okay,
We're
well,
definitely digital because a lot of the streaming thing these days, it makes a lot of it, unfortunately.
I completely understand. Before I let you go, tell everybody where they can find your work.
So you can find it in several places. You can find me, of course, on IMDb. We have a marriagebitesthemovie.com website that we keep updated. You can find us on Facebook. Let's see, also Instagram, Twitter. I run a giant video game blog and nostalgic blog on YouTube. So you'll find 560 videos that
Oh,
way.
I wish
Find
I
me.
knew that. I would have gotten into that too. Next time.
Yes, I'll send you that. There is over 560 videos. I also provide voices for video games sometimes, and I'm in a cartoon named Pac-a-Pac-a, so you'll find me in crazy spots.
Okay, what is
But for Marriage
Pacapaca?
Bites, it's an alpaca cartoon right now. I play Gertie the Purple Alpaca. It was for
This?
that animation company.
Thank you. I've never heard of it, but again, I don't watch
I'll send
cartoons.
you the link too. You'll see me with like a giant purple hair, and I've got like a gadget lake and everything.
Oh, awesome.
I do voices for AFK Journey video game, also for Lost Lands 10. So you'll find me popping up in video games time to time. Definitely Marriage Bites, Carolina Mines, Skate to Hell, Desert Fiends 2, and some of the crazy random commercials you never know where I'll pop up. But definitely Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and of course our Marriage Bites, the movie website.
Thank you and have a great evening.
Thank you as well. Bye.